This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Melvin Kuiper Jr.
I have done my part.
The whipped cream is on the way.
Mel, you go through a can a day of whipped cream?
Yeah.
How many cans we talking?
Mel is getting 15 cans.
15 cans of whipped cream.
15 cans.
He's going to have to enroll in a program.
That's the biggest shipment yet.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
All the different crab cake places this summer eating crab cakes, hopefully.
On 98.7. ESPN.
It's a man who likes what he likes. And what he likes, he's very loyal to. And I respect that. Loyalty is very important.
Whatever it takes to get the job done, he's willing to do it.
Some
loves
people
it.
Very loyal to their teams. Other people not as loyal to their teams.
The whole Mel whipped cream thing is kind of like the rosin situation.
How much is too much?
How much is too much?
When you know, you know. When you get a bellyache, you stop with the whipped cream.
Right, when you start getting sick, it's time to stop.
Yeah, I would think vomiting would mean no more whipped cream. Do you think he's like a dog where he just eats and eats and eats and eats and then he throws up and then he just eats and eats and eats and eats?
No. I just think that he loves it. I think he wakes up and the first thought in his head is, I can't wait to get that pumpkin pie with some of that delicious whipped cream.
So you believe that Mel, like, his eyes open, he's in bed and he thinks to himself, who's going to go third pick overall? Or do you think to himself, pumpkin pie, whipped cream, let's go?
I think the latter. I think it's pumpkin pie. It's whipped cream with a touch of pumpkin pie. But, I mean, if you think about that, I'm already excited about Thanksgiving, and we're in April.
Every day is Thanksgiving for him.
Right. Can you imagine that? You wake up in the morning, you eat pumpkin pie for breakfast every day.
Then why do you do it? Why do you have a turkey, some giblets, some cream corn, some stuffing every morning, ready to go.
Because it would be too much. I mean, I have stuffing. I'm not even joking. I have Cassie make so much stuffing because that's my favorite Thanksgiving food that I have eggs and stuffing. Eggs and a stuffing waffle probably for two straight weeks after Thanksgiving.
Oh, really?
For breakfast.
Well, and what Mel does it for 12 straight months.
Pumpkin pie is so delicious, though.
Delicious. Do you think if you had it every day, though, there'd be a day you're like, pumpkin pie again?
Well, maybe. Maybe you'd have a day where you didn't want something sweet for breakfast.
Maybe.
Switch it up.
You want like a bagel, a little butter?
Yeah, or maybe you wanted some like a breakfast sandwich or some eggs and bacon.
Not Mel. This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group. They are the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Let's get right to the calls because we discussed it ad nauseum a lot for hour one about this Max Scherzer rosin situation. People all lined up, want to talk. It doesn't have to be that. Islanders, obviously, very tough loss last night. Yankees, good win. Mets, good win. Let's get to the calls. Tony and Yonkers. Good morning, Tony. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
I think my comment is, you know, like if you ban, you know, you ban all the sticky substances, but you allow him to use rosin. So it's like, you know, your producer tells you, or your boss tells you, you can only drink water, but the next day you're going to make too many. All right, so just make the pieces.
I can't hear Tony all that well, but I understand what he's saying. Right, he's saying if you say rosin is legal, how much is too much? And that is what we've discussed for the entirety of hour one. At what point do you say no? You can't use rosin to this extent.
It's up to the umpire. Well,
that's not okay for me.
It's not okay for me either. And it's not okay with. I mean, it wasn't okay for Max Scherzer, and it's a problem with baseball right now. If you're telling me there's a substance I can use to help me grip a baseball, how am I supposed to know what's too much or my hands too sticky? If it's the substance in my sweat and it's legal, I should be able to use as much as I want.
That is correct. And if you can't, then you know what? Tell me where I have to draw the line. When do I have to stop?
Right at that point, I mean, it's just
right. There was a major league official there with him,
dude. They own the company that makes the baseballs. If you don't want to have a rule that's left up to the interpretation of the umpiring crew, then make a baseball that comes with some sort of grip on it, so the pitchers can't complain to you that they can't hold the baseball.
It's ridiculous. Ken in the car. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I've never handled a rosin bat before. My understanding is that it's supposed to, like, dry the hand.
Yes.
How, for some reason, like, the math is not mathing up for me right now. Like, how is it that it's that sticky with sweat? Can someone just enlighten or just talk a little bit about, like, what the rosin bag is supposed to do and how is it possible that it can still be sticky? That I'm really confused about that. I'm just trying to understand.
It's when you apply the rosin and then you take your sweat from your arms or wherever it is and you rub it and mix it with the rosin, it becomes tacky, it becomes sticky. A lot of guys were doing taking the rosin and the sunscreen.
Right. And they were making, you know,
a little mixture. Concoction.
Yeah. Right. And that I understand. That crosses a line and that's illegal.
Yeah, but even then though, I mean, so what? I can't use middle of the summer, I can't use sunscreen on my arms?
Well, now you get to a slippery slope.
No pun intended, but that would be the argument. So what now? I'll have to wear long sleeves when it's 98 degrees out?
No. I understand it's a gray area, but I think you can't. I'm sorry, you can't use the sunscreen on the baseball.
No, but it wasn't using the sunscreen on the baseball. It was just taking, like, if you saw me, I put the rosin on my hand. I wipe. You see them? They wipe their arms to get the sweat off their arms, and then that's when the stickiness is created.
Correct.
So it's just. I mean, if you to solve the problem really is make a baseball that has tack on it, and then not let them use anything.
Let's go to Joe in Smithtown. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I just think it's funny, that Scherzer's pushing the envelope after people were kind of lambasting him in the New York media. He's having a setback, and now he's loading the bases in the first inning yesterday, and then he comes out, and now his hand's all sticky. And I don't know, maybe, hey, he's pushing the envelope. Was he cheating? No, because like you guys are saying, it's a subjective rule, but I think he pushed the envelope, but I think he knew what he was doing, and he got a little caught up in the game. And I think he's playing a good game. I would have done the same thing if I was having a rough start to the season, you know. But I think some funky was going on for sure.
The only reason I think the problem I have with this is a couple different things. The first being it's a subjective rule. There's really no defined. You know, there's no, I don't know as the athlete what's too sticky until you tell me it's too sticky. And then I do all the things you ask me to do. I come out, I'm still using the same legal substance. And now because it's the stickiest you've seen it in 3 years, you must believe that I'm cheating. Otherwise, why would you kick me out?
They obviously believed he was cheating.
Okay, so I mean, that again, an MLB official watched him wash his hands. So are you insinuating that after he applied the rosin, he had some other foreign substance that he put on his hand to make it that much stickier than everybody else?
Isn't that what you said? That they,
it would
they
have to be.
He was using an illegal substance?
Well, wouldn't it have to be?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, it would have to be. Otherwise, you can't. Like, how are you kicking me out because I put on rosin? If rosin is legal,
well, how can you kick me out for the belief that I'm you have no proof whatsoever, but there's the belief that I've used too much substance or an illegal substance. How do you kick me out for that?
Well, I think because the rule is so stupid, it's that, I mean, I think what you heard from the home plate umpire after the game yesterday, it's left up to their interpretation, and if their experience tells them that over the course of 3 years, this is the stickiest they've ever felt a hand. And when they touched his hand, their fingers stuck to it, and then they had residue on their hands for a couple innings. They're not buying that it was just rosin and sweat.
All right, so caller brings up an interesting point now. Are you at all, what's your level, and maybe it's none, of concern with Max Scherzer?
That was concern with Max Scherzer before this. I'm not... I get what he's saying, and maybe that is the case, that he feels like he maybe needs a little extra. to get him back to the level, which would be completely understandable. I mean, he'll be 39 here in July. Before the season started, I think this was part of the concern with Max Scherzer, with how last year ended and how the year before that ended.
And remember when he finished with the Dodgers that season, he couldn't even pitch. Remember,
right, he had shoulder fatigue. Yeah.
Right. So is this something that, but again, he's pitched. It's not like he had the one bad inning against, was it Milwaukee?
In the first start of the season, he had a bad sixth. Yep.
He had a bad, but that wasn't Milwaukee, was it? And then he had the bad, was it a bad start against Milwaukee?
Yeah.
And then he rebounded with a five shutout innings when against the Padres, when Grasso was like, oh, he wasn't good.
But he was done.
5-1 hit ball. And then yesterday he threw three innings of shutout baseball.
Would I be surprised if he was trying to find different ways to get him, you know, to help him the older he got? No, absolutely not. It's usually what older players have to do to try to get themselves to the level they need to be at. Do I think he was cheating? I don't think he was cheating. I don't think he's that stupid.
If he was cheating, and I said this before, went in, they watched him, he cleaned it off, and then he said, boy, you know what? Now I've got one on them. And let me do it again. He's a moron is what he is. And I can't believe that a guy this bright and this much of a, you know, pitching savant for so many years would push fate like that and say, yeah, let me get caught here.
At this point, yeah, like especially now at this point of the season, like what sense would it make now to do something like that?
By the way, totally separate topic. Do you see what they want to do with Mookie Betts when he gets back from paternity?
Yeah, they want to put him in the infield.
They want to put him at shortstop.
Oh, yeah. Well, he played. I mean, he used to play second base, right?
He did used to play. But second base to shortstop is not exactly apples to apples.
No, it's not. But they believe in good athletes can play different positions.
Do you know how elite of an athlete this guy must be? He's never played shortstop, and you're going to trot him out there, you know, as at the, you know, not tail end, but he's certainly been around for quite a while. Oh, yeah, Mookie, go play shortstop.
Have you seen Mookie Betts bowl, too? That guy's a phenomenal athlete.
You know, I was just going to bring that up. Now, yeah. But here's the thing. If you're a great bowler, is that a great athlete?
No, I think it's just naturally because he's such a great athlete that he has the ability.
He is a great athlete. And do you know how tall he is?
I don't think he's that tall.
On a good day, RJ, he should be your guy. On a good day, he's probably like 5'7".
Wow, he's that tiny, huh?
Yeah, he's tiny. I wonder, what is he listed at? What do you think?
Probably 5'9", I bet.
Yeah, probably so. But you know, if he's listed at 5'9", I'm looking it up. Mookie, where is this? Mookie Betts. Here we go. Okay. Mookie Betts is listed at 5'8".
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
So he's not shy. He's not afraid. He's not ashamed of it.
So you know, yeah, so I've seen 5'8 here, 5'9 another spot. So he's probably 5'7 or 5'6. I've heard people say that he could be 5'6.
I'd like to see him next to Altuve.
Well, Altuve, I think, isn't Altuve like 5'5?
No, is he really 5'? The pitcher, all I remember is that pitcher with Judge at second base. And he looked like a giant.
That is the greatest thing ever. Altuve is listed at 5'6.
That's amazing.
Listed at 5'6.
5'6 and just opposite field home runs like it's no problem.
All over the place. Yeah, he is absolutely phenomenal. But he's out for an extended period of time now.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Without you, there's no me. That's how I feel.
That's not true.
That's true.
How
that's
is that
how
true?
I feel. That's how I feel.
You might feel like that, but management doesn't feel like that.
No. They're mocking you right now is what they're doing because they know it upsets you.
Right. Okay. So if you know if something upsets someone, why would you mock them? They would
because
do that
I think
to
you're
you.
Better. I think you're better upset. I think they're trying to get the best out of you, and they realize that you agitated is you at your best.
So this is button pushing at its finest is what it
right,
is.
Which is exactly why the reads keep changing.
So that they're creative with nothing, and the one thing all of a sudden they have this immediate incredible creativity with is mocking me.
It feels like that could
right?
be the case. Yeah.
Great. Okay.
All right, so I just got a text message from my good friend Brian.
Okay.
Who is the catcher on our men's league baseball team.
All right.
Terrific catcher. What a guy he is.
Really?
So his thought, which makes perfect sense, is why not just check every pitcher hand and glove as they come out of the dugout to the mound as opposed to after the inning?
Well, that's what they did in the fourth inning with him.
No, just from the start, though. From the start. So, guy comes out, you check his hand, you check his glove. The legal substances are already there provided on the mound. And then that's what they're using.
They have them lined up like a bathroom counter?
Well, yeah, but that's, I mean, you told me these are the ones we can use. The problem now is that guys have those exact same, the provided ones, but they have them in the dugout, so they're applying them themselves. And getting the proper mixture with whatever.
All right, so let me throw this back at Brian. You're going to do this every inning as they trot out to the mound, right?
Yeah.
And what happens in between innings? When you go back to the dugout, do you now have to go thoroughly scrub your hands like you're going in for surgery?
No, you would have to come out and get checked again. I guess I see what you're saying, though, is because it's already sticky.
Right.
Coming back out. Now it's up to, again, what's too sticky.
Now you're getting to another level of stickiness.
Yeah, what's too
now,
sticky?
Now Phil Cuzzi all of a sudden, he says, I've never seen anything like this before.
But again, it's the problem when we have these conversations with these rules is that guys will spend the entire time, once you give them a rule, trying to find the best way to utilize that rule for their
Shouldn't
advantage.
Shouldn't they?
Of course they should. That's what
I mean,
we do.
If you told me, Dave, you're doing sports talk radio, you can do anything up to here, and then once you go past there, it's not okay. I'm going to go right up to wherever you tell me I can go up to.
Right up to the line.
I mean, you'd be foolish not to, no?
It's your job, man.
If you're an accountant,
this is why you're getting paid all this money.
You're an accountant. You're doing someone's taxes. These are the rules. Some rules are kind of ambiguous. Others are hard and fast. Wouldn't a good accountant go right up to the line every single time?
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna want to save the most money possible.
Right. Not cross it. But right.
Yeah,
up
well,
to
unless
it.
Unless it's one of those lines that is a moving target. Where you're not really sure where the line is, and you're kind of guessing until you find the one person that decides, nope, you went too far.
RJ had a good analogy earlier. He's like, this is like getting pulled over for speeding on the Autobahn.
I've been on the Autobahn. Very scary.
Have you really?
Yeah, very,
You've
never
very heard
scary.
Him tell stories where he's been on the Autobahn?
I don't think so.
Even
I
remember
amazing.
That. Don't you remember he played in Germany?
Well, I remember that, but how fast did you go?
I think we were going, well, we didn't really have I mean, our car wasn't built for speed. I think we got up to 137. I think it was 137 or 138 miles an hour.
Speed 137 is fast.
Yeah, that's cruising. So let me.
Yeah, but it was. You're talking about like sports cars just buzzing by.
I was going to ask, what would you say? It's hard to know the exact. What would you say was the average speed being traveled around you?
Who
faster than you were going?
Were cars zipping by you at 137?
No, that was when, like, he went that to, like, kind of show off that we were on the Autobahn and he could, like, really rev it up. But I would say probably average speed, probably somewhere, like around 90, probably like 80, 85.
All right. That's reason. Like, I've done that. 137 would freak me out.
Dave does drive some fine.
You know what? Enough.
International engineering.
Enough.
We were in like a nice, sturdy sedan. Like it was.
Nothing
it was
fancy.
A nice,
just a nice. Yeah,
was,
nice
well, but I, you know what I meant. I mean, it wasn't a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or something. It was like it was a car that could go fast, but it wasn't like a.
You know, the common man car, like a Porsche.
A sports car.
Right. Now you're going 137. I would be terrified. Were you nervous?
Yeah, because I wasn't driving. If I was driving, I think it would have been better. But because I wasn't driving, I was a little nervous.
130. That's very fast, though.
It was a little quick.
Did he have two hands on the wheel?
No, he was actually pretty casual about it.
Yeah, that would freak me out.
I feel much more comfortable driving with one hand.
At 137?
I've never gone 137.
My wife drives like she took a full body Viagra. You've never seen a stiffer driver in your entire life.
So let's be fair. Let's call it like we see it right now. All right, and I think you know how I feel about Cass. She's one of my favorite people on the planet.
I'm nervous for where we're going.
She's a terrible driver, isn't she?
She stinks at driving. Yeah.
Sherry's probably not far behind at all, by the way.
And she thinks she's great. She thinks she's a fantastic driver.
Really?
Awful.
Those
Awful.
Are the worst. When they think they're great and they're terrible.
There's no rhyme or reason to why she's switching lanes. She'll get in the one lane and then like she'll for some reason just decide she wants to get into the right lane.
Sherry's big thing, which it drives me crazy. She's like, when do I have to get off this road? Like, you have about 4 miles. Okay, let me get into the right lane.
Yeah,
I'm like,
same exact thing.
I just said 4 miles. Yeah, but I want to be prepared. RJ, you know what? Play the game. Ange, how does she drive?
Well, actually.
Oh, yeah, you know.
I'm not kidding. But, however, the lane thing, I just said to Ray, I go, that's Ange. If I'm driving and it's like, 2 miles until exit 39. She's like, why aren't you getting over? I'm like, I don't know, because that's a long way to go.
Well, 2 miles could take a long time.
Now, I'm the other end of the spectrum there. I don't get nervous until it's like quarter mile and there's a lot of traffic and I haven't gotten over yet. Then I'm like, okay, high alert. Otherwise, we'll get there.
I don't think I'm great at many things. I am an elite merger. Elite.
That's a transferable skill to life right there.
I think it
you
is.
Have to be though on Long Island.
Important. It's very important.
It's the main reason for traffic is people have no idea how to merge.
No, people are terrible drivers.
But terrible, when you grow up on Long Island, getting off the parkways and stuff, you got to be able to merge.
Yeah, RJ grew up upstate where, you know, it's easy breezy driving.
Yeah, it is easier. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but his size, though, I mean, it can't be that easy.
What do you mean? Why does being little have any impact on driving?
Yeah, I'm very.
What do you mean?
I'm very aerodynamic.
Car's still the same
true,
size.
But, well, yeah, but getting over the steering wheel. I mean, there's some issues there.
RJ, you have issues getting over the steering wheel?
Absolutely not.
Do you have issues reaching the pedals?
You think not he uses a booster?
I'm not even going to answer that. No. Not even going to justify that with an answer.
Pedal on these towels here.
Like little wooden blocks on his feet.
Yeah. What are these? We call them clogs. Put them on. They're wonderful.
There's only one way to settle this. Another thing we won't do.
What?
Go-kart racing.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, go-kart racing. I'm in.
How did you know he was going there?
Because I knew exactly where he was going, because I love that.
It's very on point.
We should have a show.
That's what options. We
should do.
A lot of options around here these days.
Is that right?
Oh, I'd go right after the Rothenberg vehicle.
Why?
I'd turn it right around.
No, you would not.
Wreck in turn 4.
I would dominate you. I would dominate you.
It'd be a wreck in turn 4.
Oh, I can't wait for this. This is happening.
No, stop it.
No. This is, even if it's just us doing it, this is happening.
What do you mean us doing
it? We could rent out the entire track. Let's go.
Well, I mean, there's a show we could do, which would be would be awesome.
You could race during the show?
No, not during the show.
How great would that be? Come on now.
That actually would be great if you had a headset on.
So what do you think about the Islanders loss last night? Hang on, I'm passing RJ.
Try not to wipe out as you're doing stuff you missed.
We had a rookie camp here on Long Island. So I don't know how many guys were there, but one of the activities. So, I mean, you can only practice so long. So practice, train, and then they would have activities that you could do just to keep guys busy. So it would be golf or whatever. So one of the activities was guys went, place was going to provide food. And I think it was like... I think there was an arcade, there was bowling, and then there was go-karts. So Cass and I were together at the time. So I'm like, hey, you want to go grab some food and do some go-kart racing or whatever? She's like, yeah, absolutely. So it's me, her, and then a bunch of Islanders prospects on this go-kart track. And, of course, of all the people on the go-kart track that you wouldn't want to be driving so aggressive that she could potentially hurt an Islanders top prospect.
Cassie.
My wife runs over the front end of some top prospect's car in the go-kart.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh, no.
You get a call from management. What the hell happened?
I didn't know that that was possible. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I have a lot going on. I have a lot of reads. I got to navigate through the callers. I got to look stuff up when it's applicable. And yeah, I would like an out time. He knows I like the out time. So instead of making me the villain, why not just give me the out time every segment?
Well, here's the thing.
Usually
we begin the out time process around 8:25, that is when we will break next. Because, to be honest, the first 2 hours have not changed. We were 5 to 8.
Okay, here's the thing.
We're still the same clock, 6 to 8.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, what's the thing?
Now, I don't know if you recall this. First segment of the day, there was a nap time.
Well,
At 6:15 this morning, there was an app time.
If you need it, then I will provide
it. Why don't you put your big boy pants on and stop complaining?
Why don't you drive the show, huh?
It seems
Really, it takes you half an hour just to write a 3-minute open. Why don't you drive the show?
That is true. However, it seems we're regressing. It's like if we've potty trained you, now you're at 4 years old, you're just peeing in the corner.
But I don't think I was ever potty trained.
I think you were.
No, I'm diapered.
No, I think we were shedding the diaper. We're in year three. That's potty training time. I think we were there, and now you've just gone rogue. You're nude, running around, just pooping on everything. That's the
clock.
I think
most likely on the show to wear an adult diaper at some point, Dave.
Really?
One less thing to think about.
It's one of my great fears.
This is why your dogs act like maniacs.
Because no, they're troubled.
It's just parenting. Did you get the message I sent you?
What message?
I sent you a text message. Check your phone. Research for the show.
Can I mention it on air?
Yeah, it's topical. So people understand. I had to go back. It's 2 years old. But to get an idea of what you're able to achieve with rosin and sweat, the level of stickiness.
I'm looking at something different then. Oh yeah, there we go. So you sent me Trevor Bauer.
Yep.
From June 15th of 2021, rosin and sweat. He puts a ball in his palm, holds his palm up open, and the ball doesn't fall out.
Right. That's how sticky you can get it with rosin and sweat.
That's exactly right. So what Major League Baseball should then do, or you know what maybe they do then? Maybe as you walk out to the mound, they give you a certain amount of rosin. Right? You can only get this much, and this is what you have to work with for the game.
Rosin dealer?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. What else are you supposed to do?
Let the umpire, he'll rosin your hand up for you?
That's right. That's right.
It'll be applied by the umpire every inning.
What's the stuff they put on your neck when you go to the barber?
Alcohol? Shaving cream? Aftershave?
No, the white powdery substance. Talcum powder, right?
I'm pretty sure it's just talcum powder, yeah.
Can that be used in any kind of...
Is it mentioned?
I mean, why? Do you want to use on the baseball?
I'm wondering.
Can you imagine?
It feels nice on other balls. Oh. Freshness.
I'm going to get a call. Hang on.
Yeah, clear some time.
There is nothing better than...
hang on, it's Ryan. One sec. Hello?
There is nothing
better
than the Raymond Santiago sound effects when his microphone isn't on.
I love that. That is my favorite thing is when they have the microphones on in their little area and something is said that crosses the line or goes right up to the line and you hear like, oh, God. Because it's as genuine as genuine gets. On that note, moving right from there to here, I'm telling you, and you know I am not an Islanders fan. And at any chance I get, we'll find a way to root against the Islanders. I thought they got hosed last night.
For what reason? Was well, the high stick in overtime, or was it just the fact that
both
Carolina's
the high
on the
stick in overtime was
weren't.
A? I mean, it should be a penalty.
And not according to some people.
Who?
There is a video out with Mike Rupp giving you the breakdown that says Mayfield popped his stick up, which led to the high stick.
All right.
Here's the problem with it, because I listened to it. Here's the problem with it. It's, I don't think you can call that in overtime. It was ultimately where he got, because it was overtime in that spot.
So he's one of these, if in a big spot, you can't call what's clearly a penalty.
Well, he thought that Mayfield was responsible because he popped the stick up, which and then hit him in the face. But I was always taught, be responsible for your stick. The problem with that whole play is, rather than just, okay, linesman didn't call it. He's standing right there, should have saw it, should have called it. Doesn't. Now you can't focus on trying to make your point. You making your point to the referee, it does you no good. He's not going to all of a sudden blow the whistle and go, you know what? I screwed up. I missed it. Penalty. Now all of a sudden, you go, that happened on the left side of the ice, all the way on the left boards. Puck comes back down. Mayfield's now all the way on the right side of the ice. Him, Pulak, and Barzal, all three on the right side. Anders Lee gets caught puck watching. Before you know it, it's in the back of your net.
And then what really upset me, and again, I don't have a dog in the fight whatsoever, is the amount of penalties called on the Islanders. 6 for Carolina, none for the Islanders, power plays.
Yeah, with a couple double minors, too.
That's horrendous.
It's a lot of time to be in the box.
Well, I don't have an issue with the 6 power plays for Carolina, but not one for the Islanders. None?
Yeah, but that's but here's the problem, though. You can't just say that. There are certain guys, Barzal doesn't kill penalties. Like there are certain guys that don't kill penalties. It screws up the rhythm of your game, how you want to use your lines. The strength of the Islanders is they can roll 4 lines at you, which now you can't do if you're consistently killing penalties. On top of that, your biggest strength was not your biggest strength last night. Ilya Sorokin was not
right.
The best goalie in the NHL last
now,
night.
All that being said, you had a lead in the third period. Right?
Not
all that
did
being
you have
said.
A lead, not only did you have a lead, you had Fasching on the back door with a chance to make it 4-2. And rather than corral the puck and just put it in the side of the net, he decided to take it towards the front of the net and doesn't score. And then for some reason, and it doesn't make, again, it's one of my biggest pet peeves in the sport, is that Jacob Slavin his stick is below the goal line, somehow has the ability to bank it off Sorokin's head and into the net, which should not happen from that angle.
Well, it did, and now your team's in a whole host of trouble.
They're in a lot of trouble.
Now, I know that there are going to be those people, and you might be one of these people. Well, until you lose a game at home, you're not in trouble. They're in trouble.
You got to win 4 of the next 5.
4 of the next 5.
Yeah.
And you have to win a game in Carolina, and they are deadly in Carolina.
They're a good team, period. Now, I don't think their goalie is great. I mean, again, a couple goals yesterday. I mean, the Palmieri goal to get the Islanders started was
yeah, but the Islanders are not great when it comes to scoring.
No, they're not. So, exactly. So, you score 3 goals, you have the lead in the third period. You got to find a way to win that game. I mean, that's the point. Like, their goalie's not playing great. You scored 3. You got the lead. Your goalie cannot allow a shot from below the goal line to go off his freaking head into the net. Even the second one, I know it was a fluky goal, but where is he looking? If you watch the replays, he has no idea where the puck is at.
It's bad. And you fell behind early, and you fought back. And
again,
you took
which you shouldn't do, because you're not equipped. That's not your game.
So you went outside of your comfort zone, fought back, took the lead, and still let it get away and lose in overtime.
That's right.
I mean, I would be... Game one, you know what? Game one happens. Game two, this would... And I don't know if you feel like this, I'd be really sick about this. This, if I was an Islanders fan, this would greatly upset me.
Yeah, this was a missed opportunity.
You going to either 3 or 4?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I would like to, but I'm not.
I understand. Let's go to, before we get to observations and did it happen in Florida, Purple Belt Mike, good morning, PBM.
I'm despondent this morning. I am very upset. I can't believe that this is only the second time in NHL history, 6 penalties to nothing. The Hurricanes did not play 65 minutes of penalties-free hockey. The NHL ref that watched the high stick needs to get fired.
You can't watch a high stick where a guy gets cut. It should have been a double major. He got cut.
A double major?
He should be done.
Double minor. Double minor.
Done.
PBM.
He should be done.
PBM, you got to understand, too, that's a linesman, though. That's the linesman.
I don't care if it's a linesman. If you watch a stick, you have to hold on to the stick. I read the rule book. I don't know it as well as you guys. You have to do it unless it's a face-off and he's bent over or you're in a shooting motion. Obviously, none of that happened. You have to keep hold of your stick, and he didn't. And it was a blatant penalty, and it was missed. And the whole game, it felt like they were against us.
I don't know if that's the case or not. I mean, sometimes home teams get the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, come on. To that extent,
no, I don't
think
so.
Thanks for the call, PBM.
No, I don't think so either. But, I mean, bottom line is wasting your energy blaming the referees does you no good. Just like in that moment, not getting the call, yeah, it sucks. It was a missed call, in my opinion. You should be in control of your stick. The only thing I could say is that the linesman thought that Mayfield popped his stick up into his own face. And that's why he didn't want to, because, I mean, he's going to, linesmen are supposed to call, like, egregious penalties that the referees don't see. And the linesman was standing right there. He didn't think it was egregious. He must have thought that Mayfield popped the stick into his own face. But Mayfield can't compound the problem by now being so focused on trying to make his case to the referee that he puts himself out of position. It's a...
infuriating
loss. That was a game that through all the adversity of not having a power play and having to do what you had to do on the penalty kill, it was right there for you.
Absolutely infuriating loss. Because you fell behind, and we talked about it the other day. This team cannot afford to fall behind.
No.
And they fell behind, and they fought themselves all the way back and then fell apart. I mean, you would think that this team, more than maybe any team in the NHL, is equipped to hang on to a one-goal lead throughout the rest of the third period. And they couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, especially, I mean, even just how the goal was scored. Like, that's not a goal that the best goalie in the NHL, one of the best goalies in the NHL, should be giving up.
You think he's better than Shesterkin?
I think they're right there.
You think they're kind of 1-2 there? Vasilevsky's got to be up there also, right?
Vasilevsky, for me, is the guy, but yeah. They're all right there. The only difference between Shesterkin and Sorokin, for the most part, is that Shesterkin's a much better puck handler, but they're both awesome.
RJ.
Yes.
Do I have a moment to tell everyone about the Mets tailgate?
Or you do.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. You want to hang with us at our show at Citi Field? Well, soon you can. Thursday, June 1, that's when you can. We'll start our day broadcasting live from Rick's backyard, Publicans in Manhasset, from 6 to 10 in the morning for this show. Then we're going to walk our way over to the train, take the LIRR over to Citi Field, and watch the Mets take on the Phillies. But before that, we're going to tailgate starting at 11 o'clock in the morning. So come out to the event at Publicans, the show. Come out to the tailgate. I mean, come out to the game. We're going to be sitting in section 128. So you can get your tickets, hang with us all day long, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN. I'm going to be there, of course. Rick's going to be there, of course. RJ's going to be there. And once the show ends, Raymond's going to hop right on the subway and zip his way over to the tailgate as well. What is that?
You're assuming.
Yeah, of course I am. You're part of the show.
Huge part of the show, not just a part. Here we go. See, this is all what it comes down to. We don't make him feel. You don't. I do. You don't make him feel special.
I just said you're a huge part of the show. What do you mean I don't make him feel special?
That's how he feels.
The show, it dies without me. It's on life support without you. We need you.
Raymond, that was very nice of him to say that, Raymond.
It was very nice.
And we want you, at the event.
You're making a promise that you can't guarantee. You can't guarantee that I'll be there.
Why?
You don't know that.
But you're the only one that stands in the way of you being there.
There's variables.
What are the variables for you going?
You know what they are.
If the Knicks or Rangers, let me tell you something, okay? The Knicks will not be playing on June 1.
You don't know that.
I do. I'm sorry.
Miracles can happen. Injuries happen a lot in the NBA playoffs. Look what happened last year.
Okay. Rangers, decent chance. But even if the Rangers are playing, why can you not be there? Do you anticipate the Rangers-Bruins game 5 at 11 o'clock on a Thursday morning?
When am I supposed to sleep?
One day, Ray.
I'm going to die.
It's one day. I expect you to be there.
I just collapsed from exhaustion. You won't care.
Rick, you don't expect him to be there?
Raymond, I'll have a delicious White Claw waiting for you.
Do I look like a White Claw guy to you?
No, but I just figured
what
I
does that mean?
It.
White Claw can be delicious.
Whatever you want, Raymond. You just tell me. I'll carry you. You want me to get you? You want me to set up a hammock?
Ooh.
I'll set up a beautiful hammock. You can relax in the parking lot.
What are you going to
massage?
Hook it up
to? I could hook up. We'll put it between two cars. Maybe a couple of trees over there. Whatever you want.
You know, it would be nice if we had one of those massage chairs where your face pokes through. You sit there and someone just rubs you during the tailgate. How nice would that be?
Yeah, but that's not a massage chair. That's a chair you get massaged in.
Right. No, I'm not saying the vibrating chairs. I'm saying like you sit down on that thing. Your feet and arms go in all different directions. You have that little slat between the paper towel. You put your face in there and someone rubs away.
That's what it's called, the slat?
I think so.
Slot?
Oh, the slat.
Is that a word?
Is that a word? RJ, tell him about the slat.
I know nothing about
it. I do think it's a word. That's about all I can tell you. I have no idea what it means.
Of course
okay,
it's
sir,
a word.
Okay, sir, relax and put your face in the slat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a slat. That's a slat, is it?
Okay. It's a slat.
A thin, narrow piece of wood, plastic, or metal, especially one of a series which overlap or fit into each other as
it's not a slat.
Or a Venetian blind.
Right.
It's a slat.
No, it's not a slat. It's a slot for your face.
It's a slat. It's a small opening.
A slat is not a small opening.
Also,
RJ, please tell him I'm right.
Also the nickname for Glenn Sather.
Yeah, slats. It is not. That is not a slat.
It's a slat. No. Where I come from, that's a slat.
you're an idiot.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.